Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. A special Thursday edition, seeing as though today is one of, if not the biggest day on the sporting calendar. As March Madness is now in full effect, the first four games are in the books, and we dive into first round matchups of the NCAA tourney field of 64. Exciting stuff, folks, and I'm sure many of you, and you know, I had a conversation with a buddy of mine earlier this week concerning like the first 2 days of the tournament, the first week, right, going into the weekend. And, you know, he told me a story of how his coworker, now he told him this on the side, how he knew, because this guy's like obsessed with the tournament, just like most of us, right? He knew that the tournament was coming up. So he would like set it up to where, you know, a cough out of nowhere or a sore throat would start on Monday, right? But he's good. You know, then Tuesday rolls around, and, you know, the cough is a bit worse. Not feeling too well. He's telling everybody in the office, you know, I'm not feeling too well. Maybe coming down with something. You know, and then Wednesday comes. He still shows up to work on Wednesday. But Wednesday, he's like, you know, he's barely hanging on. Like, man, you know, I may have to leave the office early, you know. Putting on a very good acting job, so to speak. So that by the time Thursday comes, they saw the writing on the wall, his coworkers did, and said, okay, well, yeah, he's been sick since Monday. You know, I saw it when it first started. When lo and behold, he had been setting everybody up for the okey-doke so that he would be sick, quote-unquote sick, come Thursday, the first round of the NCAA tourney. And I totally get that. That's pretty clever, right? Because you just can't, you know, you look fine all week, and then Thursday comes, and you don't show up to work because you want to check out the tournament. But I'm sure there are many of you that are, one, playing hooky right now, so you can check out the round one games in the opening day of the NCAA tournament, or two, and this is what many people at work are doing right now, right? You got the game on your laptop, you got it rolling, you know, another game maybe on your smartphone, you got your iPad out, you got a game on your computer screen, multiple screens out there working as you're trying to, quote-unquote, be productive and work while at work. Not a lot of work happening. I believe there was a study done a few years ago, actually, that said that the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament are the most unproductive work days on the calendar for the year. So, there you have that, folks. And today is particularly exciting for Spartan fans out there because Michigan State men's basketball opens up the NCAA tournament later on this afternoon. We are a little more than an hour away from Michigan State and Bradley. There was an open practice that took place yesterday. The public came out. Those who are in, Des Moines, Iowa, got a chance to come to the stadium and check out the players, warm up, and go through certain drills and so on and so forth. Tom Izzo, head coach of your Spartans, he was made available to the media. Saw some pictures out there of that media scrum, and my goodness, a lot of cameras, a lot of microphones in the face of Izzo. And then locker room interviews took place with the players, and we actually have our very own Kyle Turk, who is out in Des Moines, Iowa, because Kyle does double duty. He's not only just an intern here at Current Sports, but he also is a part of Impact Sports, which is the local sporting hub here on the campus of Michigan State University, led by Michigan State students. And Kyle Turk actually will be rocking the mic alongside Impact Sports' own Joey Ellis. They will be on the radio. So if you're driving around here in the East Lansing area, you know, you can tune into Impact Radio and listen to them at 2:45 p.m. But Kyle's doing double duty, so he was able to get us some interviews with players Matt McQuaid, Foster Lawyer, and Cassius Cash Money Winston. You'll get a chance to hear what they had to say as, you know, they prepare to take on Bradley. All right, so you don't want to miss those interviews. We have Jack Kerwin behind the glass, engineer of the Tuesday, Thursday, and occasionally Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Jack, we'll have some fun, man, because, frankly, if you're listening to us right now instead of watching those first-round games, man, you are a really dedicated Current Sports listener. And if you do have us rolling, I'm sure that you have the game on mute somewhere, right? But, Jack, I want to have some fun today, man, and I want to go through our respective brackets. And, you know, I was joking before the hour started, and I do this every single year. I told you I have 25 brackets. I kid you not. But what ESPN and also, you know, other services out there that have brackets out there that you can complete on their website, they allow you to fill out random ones as well. So if you're short on time. And so for me, you know, I have about five that I really sit down and kind of hash out and pick maybe a few upsets here and there. I have one bracket that I think logically, okay, this is what my head says. I have another one in which I go with my heart. Another one where I pick a lot of upsets. And the other two are just for fun. I may pick some crazy stuff here and there. The other 20 are just random. I'm just clicking autofill, you know, some chalks here and there. Because lottery, you know, I look at some of these brackets, it's like lottery tickets, right? You know, the whole $1 million prize for a perfect bracket, which I don't think will ever happen. But, you know, it's like going to get an easy pick for the lottery. So I just throw out an autofill for the rest of the 20 and just have fun and just see what happens as the tournament goes on. But Jack, I know you just do one, right? You're one of those guys. You just do one and you ride or die with that bracket, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I do one bracket, and for all the leagues I'm in, I just put that bracket in those leagues. Yep.
There you go. So you don't do like just another one on the side just for fun or just to...
No, I considered it this year because, spoiler alert, I didn't pick Michigan State. So I considered doing one where I did pick Michigan State, but no, not this year. I've done that in the past.
Okay, gotcha. So we'll go through each of our brackets and we'll peg a few matchups that we like, maybe a few upsets here and there, and we'll give you our final four, our Sweet 16, our Elite Eight, and, of course, our national champion, all right? So we'll have some fun with that, and then we'll get to those bites from our very own Kyle Turk from Des Moines, Iowa, and then we'll close the hour with Throwback Thursday, while also, of course, previewing the matchup between Michigan State and Bradley. All right, if you would like to be a part of the NCAA March Madness fun here at WKAR's Current Sports, you can pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to the Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can comment below the New Look live stream, and you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Okay, I want to first start by giving you all a score update when it comes to the games that are currently underway in round one of the NCAA tournament. Louisville and Minnesota, that's a 10-7 matchup, Minnesota being the 10 seed, the Cardinals being the 7 seed, the Golden Gophers with a 38-33 lead over Louisville. So there you have that one. You've got Richard Pitino taking on his pops. Old program there. Jack.
Pure coincidence.
Pure coincidence. The committee didn't think about that at all.
No.
So there you have that. That's an interesting storyline to go with that.
You heard
game.
The guy from Stanford. They don't factor in TV ratings or storylines when they're picking these games.
Not at all.
No.
It is totally about the X's and the O's and strength of scheduling and all of that other jazz, right? I'm with you, Jack. I hear you. Also, LSU and Yale are going at it. That's a 14 versus a 3, LSU, of course, being the 3 seed there. The Tigers have a 30-21 lead in the first half against Yale. All right, but a lot of games taking place throughout the day. I mean, as soon as we get off the air here, I will be going to my office trying to do work while my laptop streams multiple games, okay? But later on today, you'll see Auburn take on New Mexico State, Vermont and Florida State. Again, 2:45 p.m., Michigan State in Bradley. More on that game in just a moment. Belmont against Maryland, Northeastern versus Kansas, Murray State against Marquette, ACU against Kentucky, Florida against Nevada, St. Mary's taking on Villanova. What is this? FDU against Gonzaga. 16 versus 1 seed there. Montana against Michigan. That will tip off at 9:20 p.m. Seton Hall against Wofford. That's a 10 versus 7 matchup there. Purdue versus Old Dominion. And Syracuse against Baylor. That should be a really fun game, by the way. Syracuse against Baylor. I love those 8 versus 9 matchups. Should be very, very fun stuff. Okay. Tyrone Hirose. He's made the headliners multiple times this week, seeing as though he made his debut with the Detroit Red Wings earlier this week and actually scored a point in that debut. Very cool stuff there. And Hirose has been named one of 10 finalists for the Hobie Baker Memorial Award. The award committees announced that yesterday. The Hobie Baker Memorial Award is presented annually to the top NCAA men's ice hockey player. The 10 finalists were selected by voting from all 60 Division I college hockey head coaches, plus online fan balloting. The Hobie hat trick of 3 finalists will be announced on Thursday, April 4th. The award winner will be announced on Friday, April 12th in Buffalo, New York, the host of this year's NCAA Frozen Four. So congratulations to Taro Hirose. All right, 3 members of the Michigan State wrestling team are headed to Pittsburgh in preparation for the 2019 NCAA Division I Wrestling Championships, which are set to take place today and will conclude on Saturday, March 23rd at PPG Paints Arena. Michigan State has 3 wrestlers competing in the championships, matching their total from the 2016-17 year. Sophomore Rayvon Foley is the top-seeded Spartan, drawing the number 9 seed at 125 pounds. Foley will be joined by redshirt sophomore Drew Hughes and redshirt freshman Cameron Caffey. Okay, the Detroit Pistons will take on the Phoenix Suns tonight at 10 p.m. on the road, as the Pistons are again just trying to close out the year on a high note and solidify a position to make the NBA's playoffs. Yeah, playoffs, folks. Let's hope the Pistons can pull that off. And speaking of playoffs, the Grand Rapids Drive officially made the NBA G League playoffs, formerly known as the D-League, right? In the early hours today, the affiliate of the Pistons lost at home last night to Delaware, 144-135, but later in the evening clinched a berth in the Eastern Conference playoffs when Capital City Go-Go, and that's the name of one of the teams, lost to fall 2.5 games out of 6th. And the final playoff position. So the Drive at 26-21 on this season have 2 games remaining, home tomorrow against Canton and Saturday at Fort Wayne. They are 6th in the conference, but could still catch Windy City for first place in the Central Division. Either way, the Drive will start the playoffs on the road. All right.
Playoffs?
Yeah.
Don't talk about playoffs?
Playoffs?
You kidding me?
No, we're not.
Playoffs?
Wouldn't it be something, though, if the Drive, already in the playoffs, and the Pistons both make the playoffs? How about that? We haven't talked playoffs and Detroit professional sports in a long, long time. Well, one team that we do know, won't be making the playoffs is the Detroit Red Wings. And for more on the Wings,
I go behind the glass to Jack Kerwin. What's up with the Wings tonight, Jack?
Well, they stink. That's your greatest update. But they have about 8 games remaining in the season. They travel to America's Gateway tonight to take on the St. Louis Blues. Puck drop will be 7 o'clock local time. That'll be 8 o'clock here Eastern time. And they currently sit in third to last place in the NHL overall. So, you know, if you're a Red Wings fan like me who's rooting for them to tank, I really want them to get a top 2 pick in this year's draft. So, hoping for a loss tonight, Al, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think a lot of Red Wings fans are hopping on that bandwagon with you. And also, how many games are left, Jack?
I think the Wings have 8 left.
8 games left.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It'll be about the 10th of April is when the season ends.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, we're definitely getting close to that date. All right, also, the Detroit Tigers will take on the Houston Astros in spring training action today. That first pitch was actually at 1:05 p.m. And let's see if I can refresh and get a score update for you all. And yes, bottom of the first, Detroit and Houston have yet to score a run. So zip to zip there. We'll keep you updated on that game as the hour proceeds. Tavon Wilson, he came into this season with one of the contracts on the line for the Detroit Lions. So the two met up and found a compromise. Wilson has agreed to take a pay cut from $2.15 million to $1 million for the 2019 year. That's being reported by ESPN. Wilson, who is 29 years old, has played his entire career for the New England Patriots and the Detroit Lions. So he's a veteran who can help teach some of Matt Patricia's schemes. Last season, he played in 15 games, racking up 36 tackles and a sack. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, round one of the NCAA men's basketball tournament underway right now. A quick score update as I'm looking here. Again, it's halftime of the Louisville and Minnesota matchup, 38-33. The Golden Gophers on top there. And LSU is topping Yale right now, 37-25, with under 5 minutes left to play in the first half. All right, Michigan State and Bradley later on, not too far from now at 2:45 p.m. You can catch that game on CBS. And then late tonight at 9:20 p.m. to be exact on TNT, you can catch 2-seeded Michigan taking on 15-seed Montana. All right, more on both of those games in just a moment. Again, if you would like to weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the live stream. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, and tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Put you in the mood if you already are not when it comes to the world of postseason college basketball, the NCAA tournament. Day one. I don't really count the first 4 games. They're cool. They're cool. Fun to watch. You know, but that's like the appetizer, right?
It wets the beak a little bit.
It does wet the beak. It does. Like I said, it's the appetizer. It's like, you know, when the waitress comes out with the spinach dip, you know, get some spinach dip or maybe a few wings, you know, and some fries.
Breadsticks, salad. Yeah, no, I feel you.
Exactly. But now the main entree is being served up. And I tell you what, Jack, there is, and I think it's across the board, I don't think you can argue with this anymore. When it comes to the biggest sporting events here in America, now, again, you can bring up the Super Bowl. I think that's the only other sporting event that you can maybe argue with. But without a doubt, nothing beats the tournament, in my estimation. I mean, there's nothing like this. You have so many people people that don't even care anything about college basketball or sports in general in respective pools at work, filling out brackets, you know, putting money on the line, placing bets here and there, glued to the television because you now have an invested interest due to filling out a bracket and trying to compete against your coworkers, against your friends, your loved ones. There is nothing like this. When it comes to the Super Bowl, and this year's Super Bowl is pretty indicative of that. You know, if the game isn't good, and again, you only got one game, one shot at this thing. I'm not taking into account the entire NFL playoff slate. I'm just talking about the Super Bowl because the Super Bowl, it's like a national holiday here in America. But if the game isn't good, it becomes a dud. It really does. And I love football, but my goodness, this Super Bowl was really an eyesore. It was tough to watch. Not a lot of points being scored unless you are a diehard football fan that loves defense. You loved it. But it was pretty ho-hum, very boring, if you ask me, all right? The halftime show, I didn't think was that bad, but it wasn't wildly entertaining, and for the most part, the critical consensus was that the halftime show was trash. So, Super Bowl is big, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to an event that is huge, that meets the hype, that lives up to the hype, and many times exceeds the hype on an annual basis, folks, it does not get any better than the NCAA tournament. There is nothing like this in sports. This is probably, Jack, the only thing that the NCAA does right. Probably the only thing. That's it, man. I can't think of anything else that they do right, but they get this one right, I think. And well, I could go on a rant about the committee and what happened with certain selections.
Yeah, I didn't get all that right, but
they didn't get that right. Exactly. This is the only thing they get right, though. The event itself, they get right. And it's so fun to watch it. So I want to know your thoughts. If you want to call in and maybe give us, don't give me your entire bracket because we're not trying to have you on the air for 20, 30 minutes here. But, you know, if you want to call in and maybe give us some sexy, you know, upsets that you picked and maybe give us your Final Four and national champion, cool. Call up. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to give a quick prediction on what's going to happen in either Michigan State and Bradley in that game, or later on tonight, Michigan and Montana, would love to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, and many of you already weighing in at facebook.com/WKAR News. I'll get to a few of your comments there. And thank you for those who signed up for our WKAR Fan Bracket Challenge that we put out yesterday. And who knows? You may have something special coming your way if you can defeat me. We'll see. Well, it will be easy to beat me. I historically don't do well when it comes to bracketology every March just because I think I overthink it. You know, I'm that guy that's like trying to break down, you know, certain matchups here and there and who's the hottest player right now, what injuries are on the team. I totally overthink it. And those who overthink the bracket just don't do well because madness. It's truly madness. And upsets happen left and right. And right now, Jack, both you and I chose Louisville to win this game. And 38-33 right now. How about Minnesota? You brought up a great point before we hit the air, Jack. You said that maybe your Big Ten, because I think this is the thing. We and again, this isn't fact, but I'm just throwing this out there. The point that you made was that, you know, we watch Big Ten basketball on a regular basis because it's what we do here at Current Sports. You know, we follow Michigan State. We get a chance to see these teams up close and personal that, in a way, we become, desensitized to the Big Ten in a way because we watch it all the time, right? We see all these teams, and we see all these teams beat up on each other throughout the Big Ten year so that when the Big Ten dance comes, maybe we underestimate the conference a bit. Would you agree with that? Because it's the point that you made, actually, which is a really good one.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit of a recency bias. And I mean, watching the Big Ten all season, you know, as a Michigan State fan, I mean, it's been pretty clear that Michigan State is objectively better than every team in the Big Ten, with the exception of Purdue, just because Purdue's so bipolar. You know, sometimes Purdue can play at Michigan State's level, other times, you know, they can't play at all. So, no, I agree, because I've watched Minnesota all year and I haven't been impressed by him. And, you know, as a whole, I haven't been tremendously impressed by Louisville either. But, you know, looking at the two teams, I've watched a lot more Minnesota than I have Louisville. And I haven't loved Minnesota this year, so I took Louisville.
I'm the same way. I haven't liked what I've seen from Minnesota either. So, you know, the fact that they are right now leading Louisville is a bit surprising. Now, still
up 10 now, by the way.
Up 10 now.
Yep.
They just stretch it to 10.
Yeah, first minute of the second half.
Oh, boy. Okay, we'll see what happens in that matchup, and we'll keep you updated on that. And also a quick score update. I'm seeing at least right now, Jack, that LSU is up 1-0. They're stretching this thing out now. 43-27 is the score I have for that. So with like 43 seconds left in the first half. What I want to do right now, I do want to make some points real quick when it comes to Michigan State and Bradley, because I was curious. I don't know much about Bradley, and that's the beauty of the Big Ten. I mean, of not the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament, right? Because, you know, when it comes to matchups in the Big Dance, you are going to most likely play a team, especially if you're a higher seed, right? A team that you're not familiar with, a team that's not in your conference, a team that is a Cinderella story. So you don't know much usually about that matchup, right? And we're going to see later on tonight, well, later on this afternoon, excuse me, a little more than an hour from now, Michigan State take on a Bradley team that is a 15 seed. Michigan State, of course, a 2 seed. Now, I don't want to bring up bad memories, but when Michigan State was a 2 seed against Middle Tennessee State, and the only point I'm making by bringing this game up is just how unpredictable the tournament can be sometimes, because it's all about matchups. And again, the opposition that you're seeing when it comes to the 2 versus 15 seed is usually going to be a team that is not in your conference, a team that squeaked into the tournament, that's a Cinderella, okay? And that's exactly what 15 seed Bradley is. They're 20-14. That's what Bradley's record was throughout the year. And so I was very curious to kind of read the coverage and watch the coverage here locally of those reporters who are out in Des Moines, Iowa, a few of them getting the chance to talk with a few of the Bradley players, a few of the Bradley coaches, and get their thoughts on this matchup against the Spartans. And this is what Bradley coach Brian Wardle had to say on Wednesday when comparing Michigan State to Bradley. Quote, a lot of what we do is very similar. When it comes to tough man-to-man and rebounding is an emphasis for us, we like to get up and down when the opportunities are there. Push it. And then we'll try to execute in the half court. It's a great challenge. The competitor in me is excited about the opportunity, and I know our guys are too. He goes on to say, quote, when you call other coaches, you know that what Michigan State stands for. You know what their identity is. That's why they're a great program. They have that strong identity. They are very good in transition. You've got to get back and rebound with them. So it sounds to me, and again, I just bring up that specific quote, Jack, to make this point. It sounds to me like Bradley views Michigan State as when it comes to the game plan they run, as a much, much more talented version of themselves, right? They like to run. They like to get in transition. They're physical, and this is what I have to say to that. If you're a Spartan fan and you're reading that quote from the head coach of Bradley, you got to be smiling right now, because any team that tries to match what Michigan State does, you're falling right into the trap that Tom Izzo wants you to. You can't beat Michigan State at its own game. That just does not happen with the Spartans. They're much too talented, and they've been doing this for a long, long time. All right, Cassius Winston, when he's pushing that basketball, running in transition, finding guys, and guys are hitting shots and getting buckets in the paint in transition, Michigan State is near impossible to beat. So if Bradley plans on doing the same thing that Michigan State does, this may be a blowout, Jack. Hopefully. I'm just going off of what, again, the head coach of Bradley had to say yesterday concerning the Spartans. Again, that being Bradley coach Brian Wardle. So for me, looking at, gosh, and I have to bring it up. I just had it, too. I'm not sure what the spread is. I believe it was It was something like 13 points is what I saw. I could be wrong. I'll look it up right now, but I just want to get your thoughts. While I'm looking it up, 18, excuse me. Oh, my gosh, I'm way
off. Oh, I'd pick Bradley to cover 18.
I would, too. You don't see Michigan State blow out teams by 18 points usually, Jack. 18 points? 18-point spread? I could have swore I read something. It shifted, probably, because I looked at this, like, yesterday morning, and I thought it was, like, 8 to 10 points. So that's very interesting. Okay, your thoughts on this matchup, Jack, and what head coach Brian Wardle had to say.
No, I agree with what, for the most part, I agree with what you said. You know, when you see a 15 seed upset a 2 or something of that nature, usually the lower ranked seed has a better shot, you know, when they're a great jump shooting team, just because it's easy for a shooting team to get hot one day. And, you know, we kind of saw that last year with UMBC against Virginia. But the one matchup I'm really looking for, you know, hearing some of the quotes out of Des Moines earlier today, will be Cassius against Darryl Brown, the very talented point guard for Bradley, because, you know, Darryl Brown said, and Cassius said the same thing, that, you know, those two guys, they play a very similar style. So, you know, in order for Bradley to win this game, I think Darryl Brown's going to really have to outplay Winston, and I think that's Bradley's best shot at winning this game. I'm not going to lie to you, I am a little bit worried about this game just because, you know, the way the last 2 years since I've gotten to Michigan State, the way the first weekend's worked out for the Spartans, but, you know, hopefully they can pull it out. I really think that, you know, as long as Cassius plays at the level he's been playing at recently, I think State will be fine. And hearing his quotes out of Des Moines this week, he sounds very determined to push his team as far as he can possibly get them. So, yeah, you know, hopefully it works out for the Spartans.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we will certainly see, man. And you bring up Darryl Brown, and yeah, that's where I was going next, because this is the starting lineup that you'll see for Bradley. You'll be hearing these names a lot, so get familiar with them. Elijah Childs is the 6'7 forward, starting forward for Bradley. He's averaging right now 12.2 points per game. So I'm certain that we'll see Nick Ward matched up against him, or him or either Luke Van Bree, who is averaging right now 5.7 points per game. He is 6'9", the 6'9" forward for Bradley. Then you have the three guards in Dwayne Laudier Ogunjulier. Hopefully I'm saying that right. He's 6'4". He's averaging 8.6 points per game. Lukman Lundy, 6'3", guard, averaging 4 points per game. And then again, Brown, 5'10", guard, averaging 14.7 points per game. He is the scoring leader for that squad. But, you know, when it comes to Nick Ward, Jack, I don't think Nick Ward would start today.
I was just going to say the same thing. You said Nick Ward matched up on Elijah Childs. Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to start either.
He probably won't start because, again, he's still getting, you talk about getting your beak wet, right? He's still getting his beak wet and trying to get back into game form. So the most likely starting lineup for Michigan State this afternoon will probably be Xavier Tillman, Kenny Goins, Aaron Henry, Matt McQuaid, and Cassius Winston. Those are the five that will probably start this game. It just annoys me to no end every time I think about what happened to Kyle Arnes in the Big Ten tournament. So Michigan State will be without Kyle Arnes. That ankle he just can't go, folks. So it comes down though. Again, we all know that this team goes how far Cassius Winston goes. And Cassius is the leader. He's the straw that stirs this drink. He's averaging 18.9 points per game. Cassius has to play well, and hopefully he's well-rested since the grind of the Big Ten tournament last week. You know, he was dealing with that knee tendonitis and also the toe injury that he actually hurt in the final regular season game of the year, in which Michigan State beat the Michigan Wolverines at the Breslin Center to win a share of the Big Ten regular season championship. So this is going to be an interesting matchup. But you know, I'm with you, though, Jack, because you do have flashbacks. You know, when you think about Michigan State, a 2 seed, taking on a 15 seed in Bradley, you know, I immediately have flashbacks to that moment, you know, a few years ago when Michigan State, a highly touted Michigan State team, was taking on Middle Tennessee State, and that team just got hot. I think Giddy Potts is a name that lives in, I know, right? that lives in Michigan State infamy, right? And if you really look at the stats of that game, it's not like Michigan State played incredibly terrible. Middle Tennessee State just got really hot from deep, and that's the great equalizer. If you have a great shooting team that gets hot, it's really tough to beat them. I don't care who you are in the nation. And also, we discussed this, Jack. I think that's why a lot of people, you know, chose, well, some people, I wouldn't say a lot. I think some people were bringing this up as a sexy upset, though. A lot of people chose maybe Yale to upset LSU, and that's just not going to happen. That's a 45-29 game at halftime. So let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll go through our brackets and, you know, give you some of our picks and give you our Final Four and national champion. And we will also play to you a few sound bites from players Cassius Winston, Foster Lawyer, and Matt McQuaid after yesterday's practice in Iowa. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And I think we may need like a signal for the next few weeks, Jack, like some kind of alarm that we can drop, you know, because this may be an upset right here. We have an upset alert. Now, again, still a lot of basketball left to play, but Minnesota is up 13 on Louisville right now. 53-40. And again, your stream behind the glass is faster than mine right now, Jack. How many minutes are left in that game right now?
13.
13 minutes left. So 53-40. You know, and you just made a good point as well, Jack. I mean, for Michigan State, I mean, you can look at it two ways. Because it's the thing, you know, the Big Ten teams, you know, if you play another Big Ten team this time of the year in the tournament, it can be a bit frustrating because you know that the opposition knows what you like to do, and you're so familiar with one another. And so you can look at it that way and get frustrated, or, you know, because if you play somebody who's not in your conference that you don't see on a regular basis, you may be able to get the upper hand because they're not too familiar with you. But, you know, if you're Michigan State, you can look at it on the other side of things and say, okay, we know a team like Minnesota really well. We know what they like to do. We're so familiar with them that I'm not saying it's going to be a walk in the park, but we've got a pretty good game plan that is proven to work against the Golden Gophers. So, but what frustrates me also, and going back to this whole seeding thing, is that if Michigan State ends up playing, which I think this will happen, ends up playing Maryland, it's going to be like a home game for Maryland in D.C. And that is just so frustrating. Just another frustrating component to this seeding and this bracket region for Michigan State. My gosh, the Terrapin fans are going to be in full effect come next week for that one, Jack. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, real quick, Jack, what's your bracket look like? It'll take forever for both of us to go through each region and give our picks for the first round and the second round and blah, blah, blah. But do you have, I'll just ask it this way. When it comes to the first round, do you have any upsets? If so, what are they?
Absolutely. I got one that I love is Oregon over Wisconsin. Oregon obviously just won the Pac-12 tournament and they've won 8 straight. And conversely with Wisconsin, watching them all season, there's really not a player on that team that impresses me outside of Ethan Happ. And Ethan Happ has his own woes, i.e. the free throw line. Mm-hmm. And then I have Murray State over Marquette as well. I'm very excited for that game just because I thought Marquette was a little bit of a dark horse to go on a run in this tournament. And then they've fallen apart the last couple weeks. So
yeah.
I think those are probably the two biggest for me.
I'm curious. You have Kansas State beating UC Irvine?
I do.
I got UC Irvine in that one. That's my big one. other than that, I don't have anything too crazy, man.
I can't pick against Kansas State, at least in the first round, just because both my parents went to Illinois, and the first team I ever fell in love with was the 03-04 Illinois Fighting Illini that lost to North Carolina in the championship round.
Oh, really?
And they were coached by Bruce Weber, who's the coach at Kansas State now.
Right.
So.
Okay, so that's a personal pick for you there. But I was just looking up, you know, the matchup between, because a lot of people were bringing this up, you know, a lot of the national pundits out there. And I looked at the matchup and I said, why not? You know, I think UC Irvine may give Kansas State a run. So I picked one there. Other than that, nothing too crazy. Nothing too crazy. I do have Wisconsin coming out that first round. I know you don't, but I think that, you know, Wisconsin is, you know, a solid Big Ten team. Ethan Happ gives you so many problems. But, you know, I don't see Oregon upsetting them. But, hey, crazier things have happened. Okay, what does your – let's go Elite Eight. What's your Elite Eight look like, Jack? Because I have Duke, Virginia Tech, Maryland, Michigan State. Well, you know what? No, I'm sorry. Duke, Michigan State, Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, Houston, Florida State, Michigan. That's my Elite Eight. Florida State, Michigan, North Carolina, Houston, Michigan State, Duke, Virginia, Tennessee.
All right, so we got a couple similarities there. I got Duke, Michigan State, Virginia, Villanova.
Oh, you got Nova. You have Nova beating Tennessee?
I have Nova in my Final Four.
Wow.
Yep.
How about that?
Yeah, man, just after the last couple of years, I trust Jay Wright. And you know what? That Virginia bracket with Tennessee, there are so many teams that I just expect to fold. You know, I don't trust Purdue in March. I don't trust Virginia in March. And Tennessee, I would have had in the Final Four. They would have finally earned my trust after beating Kentucky in the SEC tournament. Then they get blitzed by 20 against Auburn. I can't pick Tennessee either.
Yeah, and you know, Auburn is an interesting team as well. I thought about Auburn, and I was looking at, you know, New Mexico State actually has a 4-point lead over Auburn right now. And I looked at that game and said, Bruce Pearl, and I still chose Auburn. But that was another upset a lot of people took, New Mexico State over Auburn. So we'll see what happens early, but New Mexico State does have a 4-point lead right now. So,
yeah, and then going on, I got Florida State, Texas Tech, and then North Carolina, Kentucky.
You got Texas Tech beating Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think Michigan has a tough bracket in the sense of there are a lot of, like, sneaky tough teams, even though I don't think Gonzaga is a great one. Like, to be honest, for a 2-seed, playing Nevada in the round of 32, I think, is the toughest 2-7 there is. And then Texas Tech as well. Like, I think it's actually a pretty tough draw for Michigan because there are several teams I really like in that bracket. Mm-hmm. I just don't really care for Gonzaga as a one. I think they're objectively the weakest one.
They, without a doubt, are the weakest one.
And Michigan's objectively the weakest, too. So
you could say that is, man, and that's where Michigan State should have been in that bracket. But anyway, Final Four, Duke, Florida State for me, Tennessee, North Carolina. So nothing earth-shattering there. Again, Gonzaga, I have Florida State beating Gonzaga.
Love the Florida State pick.
Yeah, I like Florida State a lot. I like them a lot. However, I don't have them beating Duke. So, Duke, Florida State, Tennessee, North Carolina.
Yeah, so mine's the same, except I have Nova instead of Tennessee.
There you go.
Yeah, you have the same Final Four as my brother, actually.
Oh, nice. Okay, does he have Duke going all the way?
Yeah.
I got Duke going all the way, Duke playing Tennessee.
Oh, I have Duke over Carolina.
Duke
so,
over
little
Carolina.
Little cliche, so. Never happened before, but I mean, Duke just looks like the best team to me, and Carolina's been able to play with them, and they look impressive to me as well. So
Nice. Okay, folks, what does your bracket look like? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I'll read a few of your comments on the other side of this final break. When we come back, your comments coming in at facebook.com/WKAR News. We'll be right back, folks. Round one of the NCAA tournament underway. back to WKAR's Current Sports. Real quick, I was telling Jack. Jack didn't know about the, and I put a lot of our listeners on this, the ESPN Streak for Cash. They do this every month. Now, it's totally free. ESPN is just balling like that. You know, ESPN owned by Disney. Heck, Disney owns everything now, right? They just bought Fox for 71 point something billion dollars yesterday, which is crazy, right? So they give away $5,000, $5,000 to $10,000, you know, for special events that happen throughout the sporting calendar in one day. And monthly, they give away $30,000 to $45,000 for the longest streak. Now, how it works, ESPN puts together certain, like, prop bets, if you will, every single day. And you have to nail these picks that they give you in a row. And you have to build a streak. The longest win streak for that month or for that day, depending if it's a special event, wins the moolah. So right now, and they do this every year, for the opening day of the NCAA tournament, they give you picks throughout the entire day up until the last game. And the longest streak takes home $5,000. So, like this morning, you know, the Minnesota and Louisville tip-off. How many three-pointers will be made in the first minute of the game? Five or fewer, six or more. Then they have the Minnesota-Louisville game, another pick here. Will a free throw be made between the 15-minute and 12-minute mark on the clock in the first half? LSU and Yale, which team will score first? Minnesota and Louisville again. Does a dunk occur in the last 2 minutes of the first half? So right now I'm actually rolling right now, Jack. I have seven straight picks right now. I have to look and see what the leader right now is, but yeah, because I missed two picks. That's what happens when they have so many. It's hard to keep up with them sometimes. But right now I just hit on the how many of the first three made field goals will be three-pointers in the Vermont and Florida State game. They have one three-pointer or any other number. I went with any other number in that. So it's awesome, dude. You're going to get hooked now. You're going to get hooked. As soon as you go on this thing, you're going to be, like, glued to your phone all the time making picks and seeing how long your streak goes up every single month. The longest I've ever had is 14 straight picks. And I've been playing this thing for, like, 7 years. So crazy, crazy stuff. All right. What I'm going to do right now is play a few sound bites. Courtesy of Current Sports intern Kyle Turk, who is also with Impact Sports. He's out in Des Moines, Iowa, covering Michigan State's run in the NCAA tournament this weekend. And Kyle actually published a few sound bites that you can also listen to on our website at WKAR.org. I want to play three of them right now. And I want to start with Cassius Winston. Here is what Cassius Winston had to say in the locker room after yesterday's practice as Michigan State preps for Bradley at 2:45 p.m.
I just, like I said, it helps you cherish it that much more. You know, just any game could be your last, you know, so every game going in, you just got to have that focus, that mindset that it could be your last and play like that way.
Thanks, Cash. Thanks, man.
You guys feeling good after, kind of quick turnaround? I know you've been to go out of practice, and physically.
Yeah, it was really good. We had a couple mental days where we didn't do as much, just focused on the scouts and what we're going to do. And then when we got on the floor, we went really hard, so we should be good to go.
Their point guard, pretty good shooter. What have you kind of seen for the
game? Yeah, he shoots the ball really well, strong driver, and things like that. So he's a really, really good player.
You expect up-tempo? It sounds like they like to play up-tempo, too.
Yeah, definitely. They do a good job of getting out in transition, just like us. We're going to try to push the tempo, see how long they can last with it. You know, we've been doing it all year. That's one of the things we pride ourselves on. So if it's an up-tempo game, I feel like that works in our favor, too.
Has it been kind of a balance with the tempo, though, with the personnel that you have, too? Okay, I know it's throttled back, it seems like, a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. You know, with the people we have out there, and just, you know, it's hard to do that in the Big Ten once you play a team so many times. You're going to take away your strengths and things like that. But I feel like once you get in the tournament, they don't know. You know what I'm saying? They can watch it on film, but it's never like that until you actually get out there. So might have better luck with it out here in the tournament.
Cash, you like a track meet. It fits your style and your ability to run. And they like to play in transition. Does that? I was just asking X. They like to bang on the inside, which is what he likes, and they like to transition. Did that get you excited when you know, okay, I'm going to get a chance to run now?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, you know, they're pretty good in transition, but I feel like transition is our game. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's where we're our best at. And if we're playing our best basketball, I don't see a lot of teams that can beat us.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the way Matt's been playing lately. Have you seen a difference from him? Obviously, he scored a lot of points the other day, but just, I guess, his approach and the way he's...
Oh, yeah, he's locked in, you know. His time as a Spartan is coming to an end one way or another, so he's just locked in, taking full advantage of it.
I mean, how effective can that be for a guy who, Ricky and Kenny as well, realize that this is our last shot at this? Can it just make take you to a different level?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, you wanna go out the best way possible, and you know they did it with the right approach. You know, working hard and you know staying solid, things like that, and it's helping them out a lot.
When last season ended the way it did with the certain news game, did you guys really think you could be back in the spot where you're the 2 seed coming in? Did you know that you could rebound this quickly from that disappointment?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was a tough loss for sure. But like I said, we promised ourselves this year we're gonna take it one game at a time. You know, I think last year we got caught up in, you know, national championship. Talk about that. This year we're gonna take it one game at a time, and that's gonna be our approach going to the whole tournament.
Your point guard Darren Brown, so they see some of you and himself. I mean, not the most athletic, but knows how to score, knows how to play through. What do you see in him when you watch?
Oh yeah, definitely that. He knows his spots. He knows how to get his shot off. Shoots the ball really, really well. So things like that, where you know he knows how to play the game of basketball.
Is there a point guard you face this year that maybe reminds you of his game at all, just from the little you've seen him on film and on tape?
That's a good question. I would say the closest would be myself. Just like I said, his movements, just using his body, just things like that. So he does a good job of all that.
When people always say Cassius Winston's a great guard, but he's not the most athletic, what do you think of that? Like when people say that?
I don't know. I mean, it's just people's opinion. I'm not really athletic. You see, so
you're not insulted.
Yeah, you can't get mad about facts. So I'm just keep doing what I'm doing, keep playing hard, going out there trying to win.
Does that always help you? Because you don't have the jets or whatever to burn with, so you have to be more crafty.
My whole time just have to be more creative, more crafty, just to make things happen. So I've been working on that for a long time.
You said it's a fact. Was that a fact you accepted when you got to Michigan State, when you played in high school? When did that fact?
I accepted that fact a long time ago. I gave up with the hope of being athletic and just, like I said, just working on my craft all the time.
Well, how do you cope with more athletic guys? What things do you try and do?
Just angles, change of speed, you know, just do your best to keep them from being athletic. You know, if their feet's always moving, if they can't be explosive, then you got them in a situation where they're not athletic either.
Kyle Whiteley, you know, the season in question. In what ways now can you support the team from afar?
The same way he has been, you know, just giving his heart, you know, his energy, his voice. You know, you see him, you know, he got a positive smile, he's joking, laughing with us, you know, all type of stuff where a lot of guys can go through that and just be down, and you know, that just takes energy. He's still feeding positive energy to the program.
To see how quickly he's bounced back, is that kind of like, it cheers you up that, you know, he was down on the floor, he was getting x-rays 2 days ago, and now he's, you know, up and
yeah,
joking
yeah.
with guys?
It's encouraging, you know, just his spirit. Like I said, he loves the game, he loves his team, so he's doing everything he can to help each way possible.
What's the pressure level on this team right now coming into this tournament, maybe compared to last year or even your freshman year?
Surprisingly, not that high, you know. I'm pretty sure not a lot of people expect us to do much, you know. A lot of people feel like we're going to wear out, we're going to die out eventually, so we're playing with, you know, probably the least pressure that we have, you know. We just focusing on each game at a time and just prove people wrong one step at a time.
Again, Michigan State junior guard Cassius Winston discussing his offensive game and, you know, how he's looking at this matchup between Bradley guard Darryl Brown and himself, speaking before MSU's open practice at the Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines, Iowa. Okay, next, I now want to go to Foster Lawyer, the freshman guard, Mr. Basketball for last season in Michigan. Here's what Foster Lawyer had to say prior to that open practice.
Yeah, our coaches do a good job, you know, especially
preparing, practice today, practice the day before, of, giving me kind of a heads up of, whether I'm going in at, minute mark or whether, we're just going to play it how it goes. A lot of it depends on, what they're telling me. It's not a every game type thing. Every game is different. So we'll just have to see come out tomorrow.
Has there been a different since the Ohio State game? I think there's been a different way the coach talked to you in terms of the Ohio State game last month when Nick got hurt and stuff like that, and you guys went on that run with a weird lineup, and the coach was joking about how he just wanted to survive those minutes, and you guys ended up on the run. Is there a different level of confidence with you guys when you get in? Like, you're like, well, I'm not trying to survive, I'm trying to win.
Yeah, I think when I go in there, it's my job to run the team, and while I'm out there, we're not just trying to, like you said, we're not just trying to keep the lead at where it's at. We're trying to progress that lead. We're trying to do what we can to go win that game. And so, it might not be the same way. They might do things when Cassius is in there. We might run a couple more set plays, things like that. But, I'm going to try to get my other teammates involved and get them going as well. Yep. Yeah. A lot of that, I think, has to do with our preparation leading up to the game. What kind of our coaches and our seniors and our, just our upperclassmen leadership's always kind of preached is a lot of times the game's won before you even step out on that court, just being prepared, not only physically but mentally. And when we go out there, you got to be locked in right from the get-go. And, every possession and every time down the court counts.
Where does the playing in the NCAA tournament kind of rank when you were growing up, maybe? Where did that rank for you in terms of, man, this is something I want to do one day?
That's been my dream ever since I started watching basketball as a kid. Growing up around the game of basketball, I was able to attend a Final Four before and things like that. So, for me, being out here now that I'm actually playing in one and just trying to go win this game and move on from there, it's a special feeling.
Which one did you go to?
I was real young. It was before I moved to Michigan.
Hmm. Where were you before?
All over. I was born in Ohio. I was born right outside Cincinnati when my dad was with the Bearcats. So, and then I moved from there. So
again, Kyle Turk talking to Cassius Winston and Foster Lawyer prior to yesterday's open practice at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines, Iowa. Again, Michigan State, Bradley, 2:45 p.m. I'm seeing some videos out there from fans who are at the game. Michigan State has just walked into the building. Oh, you got to love this time of the year, folks. So, again, we'll have a complete recap of whatever goes down this weekend in the tournament on Friday's Current Sports, of course. And we'll, of course, recap everything that happens in the Michigan State and Bradley game. If you want to catch the Matt McQuaid soundbite, we don't have time for it, but go to WKAR.org. Enjoy the game, folks, and be easy, people.